What if someone told you that falling in love isn't fate, but a learnable skill, like mastering chess or perfecting your golf swing? In first century Rome, one audacious poet made exactly this claim, and it got him exiled to the edge of the empire. Ovid's The Art of Love wasn't just controversial, it was revolutionary. While his contemporaries wrote tearful verses about love's torments, portraying lovers as helpless victims of divine madness, Ovid had the nerve to suggest something radical. Love could be systematically taught, practiced, and perfected. Think of it as the ancient world's first dating manual, except infinitely more sophisticated and dangerously subversive. Emperor Augustus was pushing traditional family values through legislation, and here was Ovid teaching Romans how to conduct extramarital affairs with military precision. The book's frankness about seduction earned it a spot on the imperial banned list, yet its psychological insights have outlasted empires, influencing everyone from Shakespeare to modern relationship therapists. Ovid transforms Rome into an erotic landscape where every public space becomes a seduction stage. The theater tops his list. Crowded benches force strangers hip to hip, letting you brush imaginary dust from her dress or whisper commentary. He notes Romulus himself used games to abduct the Sabine Reman, suggesting Roman civilization was founded on theatrical seduction. The circus offers even better prospects. Arrange her cushion with exaggerated care, champion whichever team she favors. At banquets, wine loosens inhibitions. His suggestions feel startlingly contemporary. Write compliments in spilled wine, drink from where her lips touch the cup, let your hand brush hers reaching for food. These gestures create intimacy without over-declaration, plausible deniability built into every move. Urban life becomes perpetual romantic possibility, the familiar city readable as a text of desire for those who know how to interpret it. Ovid treats seduction as learnable craft, starting with a liberating principle. Confidence trumps conventional looks. He cites Ulysses, described as plain, who captivated goddesses through eloquence alone, democratizing romantic success beyond physical advantages. Understanding your target's social circle proves crucial, especially her personal confidant. This insider provides intelligence on moods, optimal timing, and advocacy. Though reflecting Roman realities where slaves served as intermediaries, the principle remains. Winning the inner circle smooths your path. Written communication offers safe initial contact. Letters filled with promises and flattery test receptiveness before riskier direct encounters. If rejected, persist. Water eventually hollows stone. Troy eventually fell. This demonstrates genuine interest while wearing down resistance, though modern readers might question where persistence becomes harassment. For appearance, Ovid advocates surprising moderation. He discourages excessive grooming, no curling irons or leg depilation, recommending clean simplicity, well-fitted clothing, trimmed nails, fresh breath. This sophisticated masculinity distinguishes itself from both effeminate dandies and rough boars. Most controversially, he embraces strategic deception, claiming Jupiter smiles on lovers' perjuries. His suggestion that some physical force is permissible, that women are often pleased by force, exposes attitudes toward consent fundamentally incompatible with contemporary ethics, revealing the vast cultural distance separating his world from ours. Winning a lover takes luck and boldness, but keeping her demands genuine skill. Ovid emphasizes intellectual cultivation above all. Unlike beauty that fades like violets and roses, charm and intelligence endure. He recommends developing conversation skills, learning languages, and cultivating liberal arts. Ulysses captivated goddesses through storytelling. Eloquence outlasts physical attractiveness. Adaptability proves equally crucial. Mirror your beloved's moods, adjusting behavior to her character as fishermen use different techniques for different fish. Practice patience and humility, endure suffering like a soldier, demonstrate devotion through service. Even gods humbled themselves for love, Apollo herding cattle, Hercules spinning wool. Most psychologically astute is his advice on strategic tension. Constant availability diminishes desire, so occasional absence rekindles passion. Brief separations intensify affection, while prolonged ones risk replacement. He recommends occasionally provoking jealousy to heat up her lukewarm heart when relationships grow complacent, a principle modern behavioral psychology confirms as intermittent reinforcement. For inevitable conflicts, sexual reconciliation often restores emotional connection more effectively than lengthy discussions. In Book 3, Ovid addresses women directly, promising to arm them equally in love's battles. Venus herself commissioned this instruction, acknowledging women as active participants rather than passive targets, revolutionary for its time. He begins with beauty maintenance, comparing it to tending vines. Beauty is a divine gift, but neglect ruins even perfect features. His fashion advice is remarkably specific. Different hairstyles suit different face shapes. Clothing should compensate for physical attributes, acknowledging diversity rather than imposing singular standards. More surprisingly, he advocates developing intellectual accomplishments. Musical talents can enchant men like the sirens. Knowledge of literature, Callimachus, Sappho, Propertius, Virgil, provides conversation beyond physical attraction. Dancing, game playing, and strategic thinking all enhance appeal. For romantic strategy, he warns against smooth-talking men seeking possessions rather than affection. He recommends counter-deception as self-defense, using different handwriting styles, referring to male lovers with female names, pragmatic tactics acknowledging power imbalances. He suggests creating strategic obstacles to maintain interest. Occasional locked doors and manufactured drama rekindle passion. Competition heightens desire, he notes, like racehorses performing best when chasing others. For intimate matters, Ovid offers frank advice on positions suited to different body types, insisting woman and man should equally enjoy their delight, surprisingly egalitarian views. What emerges is a vision of women as sophisticated strategists managing their romantic lives through skill and intelligence. Ovid's relevance stems from his grasp of human psychology, anticipating insights modern science would formalize millennia later. Central is his recognition that obstacles enhance desire, the ancient scarcity principle. His tactics around barriers, strategic absences, and calculated jealousy all leverage this truth. Anyone who's wanted someone more after they become unavailable understands this intuitively. He grasps jealousy's double nature. It can intensify attachment or destroy it depending on severity. His advice on mirroring emotions anticipates research on emotional contagion and rapport building. His recommendations about projecting confidence while concealing insecurity reflect sophisticated understanding of social perception. His recognition of individual differences represents forward-thinking insight. Capturing 1,000 women requires 1,000 different arts, he observes, comparing this to crops thriving in different soils. This personalized approach anticipates modern understanding of personality and compatibility. Most striking is his understanding of how fantasy shapes desire, that perception often matters more than reality. His recommendations about creating mystery and leveraging imagination reflect sophisticated grasp of how cognition shapes emotion. These insights explain why his work endures. While specific recommendations may be culturally bound, underlying psychological principles transcend historical context. 2,000 years later, the art of love continues shaping romance. Medieval monks preserved his works despite Christian disapproval. Courtly love literature adopted his concepts, and Shakespeare, the sweet, witty soul of Ovid, mellifluously reborn, drew deeply from his insights on desire and jealousy. What makes this ancient text perpetually relevant isn't its specific tactics, many now ethically questionable, but its recognition that love operates according to psychological principles we can understand. Ovid saw what we forget in romantic idealizations. Desire follows patterns, mystery enhances attraction, availability can diminish passion. His greatest legacy may be democratizing romantic success, insisting it's learnable rather than reserved for the naturally beautiful or divinely favored. Ovid's real lesson, love is neither pure fate nor pure strategy, but a complex interplay of both. It requires vulnerability and calculation, authenticity and presentation, patience and boldness. The art isn't choosing between these poles, but navigating their tension with wisdom and psychological insight. Whether swiping right today or catching eyes across ancient Rome's theater, the fundamental challenge remains understanding the intricate, beautiful, frustrating dance of human desire.